in every way. See, whatever Ram wanted, he never treated him like his son. He treated him like a superior in all respects. And Sita, she followed the instructions of Ram all the way to the end. Even when Ram told her, you have to go, she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go at all. She was happy living with Ram in the kingdom of Ayodhya after they had come back from exile 14 years in the forest. But she left. So there we see that the relationships are there. Friendship, paternal affection, conjugal love. But all in a mood of awe and reverence. The story of the Ramayana is a very, very beautiful story. In fact, it is explained when Hanuman hears the Ramayana, he cannot stop crying. He constantly cries when he hears this wonderful story. And Hanuman, this Hanuman, he is actually a divine incarnation himself. We'll try to speak a little bit about the glories of Hanuman also. But just briefly to narrate this wonderful story of the Ramayana. There was once a king. His name was Dasarath. He got his name Dasarath. Das, 10, Rath means chariot. And he was fighting so fiercely on the battlefield that it appeared that his chariot was coming from 10 directions at one time. Can you imagine such prowess in fighting? So upon seeing this, they named him Dasarath. And Dasarath was in the Vamsa of the dynasty of the sun god, Surya, coming from Ishvaku. There were two dynasties. There's the sun dynasty and the moon dynasty. Krishna appeared in the moon dynasty, the Chandra Vamsa. And Ram appeared in the sun dynasty, the Surya Vamsa. So Dasarath, he had been ruling the kingdom for thousands and thousands of years. He was the perfect ruler. There was no famine, there was no drought. There was no anxiety. There was everything was perfect. It would rain only when it was supposed to rain. The crops grew according to seasons. The seasons were always perfectly arranged according to their season. Just like you see here in Chicago, yesterday it was like everybody was out running around with bathing suits. Today they're putting on their heavy coats, right? Really, I was driving, coming back from the airport yesterday, and people were on the beach, and they were in summer attire, and today everybody's putting on clothes. This is Kali Yuga. There's no saintly kings to rule properly. Therefore, everything's out of whack. But during the time of Dasarath, everything was perfect. It would rain only at nights, and then the sun would come out during the daytime and nourish the crops. And people were happy. There was no anxiety. There was no want. It was a very happy kingdom, but Dasarath had one problem. He had 350 queens, but he had no heir to the throne. Can you imagine not having an heir, being a powerful king like that, being responsible to produce a prince in order to carry on the rule? Because if he doesn't carry on the rule as a king, then he's considered in one sense to be a failure. What to do? Sounds like Robin. Lightning and thunder, huh? Maybe we're in Lanka now, huh? This is Ram Leela today, not Krishna. So he didn't have any heir to the throne, so he was in anxiety what to do. He had 350 queens. He had one daughter. His name was Shanta. He gave Shanta away to his friend Romapad Maharaj, who was a neighboring king, as a gift. So he said to his, he called his chariot driver Sumantra. He said, Sumantra, what am I going to do? I'm getting on in years. I could leave any time. I have no heir to the throne. What should I do? Sumantra said, you remember, you gave your daughter to Romapad Maharaj, and he married her with one great sage named Rishyasringa. Rishyasringa, the story of Rishyasringa is very interesting. It's a very good story for Brahmacharis. I don't know how many Brahmacharis we have here, but anyway, it's a very interesting story. But Rishyasringa was a very, very powerful sage, and he was married to Shanta, who was living in the kingdom of Romapada. And he said, bring Rishisringa here to perform the sacrifice, and by that sacrifice you will be able to get a son. So he did. He asked his friend Omabad Maharaj, please, can you allow me the use of your daughter and your son? We want to perform a sacrifice. So Omabad readily agreed, being good friends. So he came and he performed the sacrifice, Agnihotra sacrifice. And from that sacrifice, by chanting the mantras, nowadays people cannot perform the perfect Agnihotra sacrifice. There are no qualified priests who can chant the mantras perfectly. In order to perform a sacrifice, one has to chant the mantras exactly according to the meter and sound vibration of the mantra, and with pure devotion. Otherwise, the effects of the chanting will be nil, or in some cases, if there's some mistake, one will get an opposite effect. There's a story in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was one sage, not sage, but he wanted to create a demon in order to kill Indra. He was after Indra. Indra had committed so many offenses. So he performed his sacrifice and he chanted the mantras in order to produce this demon, but he chanted a long A instead of a short A. And what happened, he got the demon, but the opposite effect occurred. Instead of getting a demon that would kill Indra, he got a demon that was to be killed by Indra. Completely, just for chanting one sound syllable wrong. So where are the qualified Brahmins today who can chant perfect mantras? It's not possible. But Rishisringa was such a person. He performed this chanting. And from this sacrifice, a beautiful, effulgent personality came. And he was holding a pot in his hand. And in that pot was a preparation called hyacinth. Now hyacinth is very simple. Actually, sometimes we call it sweet rice. It was milk, rice, and sugar mixed together. So he gave that pot to Rishisringa. Rishisringa gave the pot to Dasarath. And he said, take this and give it to your principal queens. And upon taking that, they will be able to produce children. So he took that hyacinth, sweet rice, he divided it in half. He gave half to Kausalya, his principal queen. He gave, and then he took the other half and he divided it into three sections. And he took one of those three sections and gave it to Sumitra, and another to one of his favorite queens, Kaikeyi. And then he had one portion left, and then he gave that one to Sumitra. So immediately upon taking that, there was some, I hate to use the word, but some divine appearance of the Lord's presence within the womb of these queens. And after some time, four effulgent personalities were born. From Kausalya came Ram. From Sumitra came Lakshman and Shatrughna. And from Kaikeyi and Bart. It is explained when Krishna expands, he expands to Balaram, and Balaram expands in the spiritual world to the Chaturvyuham, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. Ram is an incarnation of Vasudev. Lakshman is an incarnation of Shankarshan, Bart, Pradyumna, and Shatrughna, Aniruddha, the Chaturvyuham. The four spiritual personalities, which are non-different than the Supreme Personality of God in all respects. So Dasarath, he was so happy. He was so happy for not only one child, but four effulgent, powerful personalities who are divine appearance. At that same time, when they appeared, Lord Brahma, he approached the demigods. He said, the Lord has appeared on earth. He's appeared in order to rid the world of your religion. There's one powerful, very powerful demon. Unfortunately, I have given him a benediction that he cannot be killed by any types of living beings except one. And that is a human being. Ravana, you all know, we know what the word Ravana means? Ravana means one who causes others to cry. That's Ravana. That's his name. One who causes others pain. What a wonderful name to have. That was his main business, just to cause anxiety, trouble, and hardship to other living entities. So he was harassing all the sages, all the living entities. And so Brahma told the demigods, he said, make expansions of yourself in the form of monkeys, with full intelligence and all the full powers of your own self, and appear in the monkey dynasty. Of course, they were called Vanaras. The demigods got the instructions for Lord Brahma to appear. And of course, Sugriva came from Surya, the sun god. Hanuman came from the wind god Vayu, and Bali came from Indra. And of course there were Mahindra and Dravida, and of course there was Jambavan, but he was a bear. So there were bears and monkeys. It's interesting. So just to divert for a second. And it says that Srila Prabhupada, divine grace, he actually crossed the ocean to rescue Sita from the hands of Ravana. So while he was here, he found some monkeys to help him. That's us. Because Ravana represents materialistic personality and Sita represents the Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. So Lakshmi has been stolen by Ravana. So Prabhupada came as a representative of Ram and found a few monkeys. From there everything is gradually unfolding. So Dasarath was so happy. And there's so much to the story, it's impossible for me to narrate in this short period of time, but I want to narrate one small part, which is very, very significant as part of that lila. And that is, at one point, Dasarath was going to coronate Ram as the king. But there was one maidservant of Kaikeya whose name is Mantara. She was a hunchback. She was one of the favorite maidservants of Kaikeya. And Kaikeyi was the favorite queen. She was one of the younger queens, but she was one of the favorite queens of Dasarath. In fact, she saved his life on the battlefield one time. He gave her two benedictions. She refused to accept the benedictions at that particular time. But she said, in the future, I'll. So Mantara, somehow or other, she became poisoned in her mind. And she was thinking, if Ram becomes king, then his favorite queen will be Kausalya. And that means Kaikeyi will not get any importance, and therefore I will not get all the luxury and respect that I'm getting now. So Mantara, she devised a plan. And she went to Kaikeyi and she said, and she said it in a very, very insidious, in a very, very devious way, you know what Dasarath is planning to do? She said, yes, soon there will be a coronation of Ram. Everyone is happy to hear about this. All the citizens are about to rejoice upon this announcement of this celebration that will take place. He said, don't you realize what's happening? That Kausalya, being the mother of Ram, will get all the importance, and you will be neglected. He will not even look at you anymore. You'll be second class. And Ram, once he becomes king, then your son Bart, he will be put in prison. Because he will simply see Bart as a competitor. And therefore your son will be neglected and tortured and harassed. So Kaikeyi said, what are you talking about? But Mantara was persistent. You don't realize what's about to happen. And gradually she kept preaching to Kaikeyi that if you don't do anything to stop this. And gradually Kaikeyi's mind was changed. He said, Mantara, I think you're right. My son will be neglected and I will be neglected. What should we do? He said, don't you remember? You saved Ram's life one time and he gave you two boons. Now you should use those boons. First, rather than coronate Ram, banish Ram to the forest for 14 years, and the second boon is to coronate Bar as the king of Ayodhya. She said, very good idea. This is an interesting point. This is the effects of bad association. If you have bad association, your life can be affected, even if you are a saintly person. If we associate with patients who are envious, or irreligion, or atheist, by that association, we also become somewhat affected. Unless we're very, very strong in our spiritual connection with the Lord. Association is so important. So, she broke the news to Dasa, because this is a very, very sad part of the Ramayana. Finally, it was the cause, ultimately, of the death of Dasa. It's an interesting point because Dasa, upon realizing that he could not do anything to change her mind, he remembered, he reflected that many, many years ago he was out hunting and he shot an arrow in what he thought was an elephant drinking water by a lake. And mistakenly, he shot a young boy who was drawing water from the lake for his elder parents, who were both invalid and blind. Upon hitting, the boy cried out. Dasarath ran and realized he had committed a great mistake. And the boy was dying. Dasarath was feeling so bad. And the boy said, I don't mind the fact that I have to give up my life, but I have two elderly parents, and they're dependent on me. They are blind and invalid. Once I leave, they will also die. So he said, I curse you that someday you will also lose your son, and you will suffer as my parents will suffer in the same way. So Dasarath remembered that during the time when he was separated from Ram. After Ram had been banished in the forest for 14 years, he was not coming back. And he tried everything. Finally, he gave up his life in separation from Ram. But he remembered that story. It's also an interesting point that whatever we do in life, we're responsible for. Whatever we do, we're responsible for. Even if we're the greatest saint, we cannot act in a way which is contrary to moral and religious principles and not get a reaction. Dasara was a great personality. He was practically the king of the world. And he was a very, very saintly person. But still, some discrepancy, the laws of karma, he was also forced to suffer in the same way that that boy had to suffer. And the boy's parents had to suffer by losing their son. I'll tell one more story, because I know it's many of you have to go, but this is a very beautiful part of the story. Is that when Ram and Lakshman were living in the forest, and this was in the forest of Panchavati, Chitrakoot, they were being attacked by so many Rakshasas. So one time, Bhavana's sister, whose name was Suparnika, and she was a hideous demon. She was born as a little deformed child when she took birth, and she came out screaming like a jackal. Imagine having a kid like that. Of course, some of our kids, they do kind of scream. They're not jackals, but they can do a good job in breaking the eardrums. And you realize that children have this special shakti. They can cry, and you can hear it 4 miles away. This is like, to be a sannyasi is easy compared to being a mother. Really, mothers have it hard. It's like raising children. You really have to have Yeah, unlimited tolerance, patience, undying love, and a desire not to sleep and not to have any peace of mind to be a mother. Not easy. So she had this hideous form, and she saw Ram and Lakshman in the forest and Sita, and she was attracted by the beauty of Ram. So she decided, I'm going to change my form into a beautiful lady, and then I'm going to propose to Ram, and he's going to be my husband. But she became so excited seeing Ram, she forgot to change her form. So she came to Ram in her natural form as this hideous demon. And she said, oh beautiful man of the forest, what are you doing here without me? I will take you to wonderful places in the forest, and we will sport together in the ultimate delight of the gods. So Ram said, I'm already married. But Lakshman, he doesn't have any partner. So you should go to Lakshman. And then he pointed to Lakshman. So she saw Lakshman. Lakshman also was very, very handsome. She said, yes, Lakshman, you are very, very, you are just my type. So Lakshman said, well, actually, Ram is superior to me. He's my older brother, and therefore I cannot enjoy you, therefore he has to have first preference. And so they were joking back and forth, and Suparnika was getting quite frustrated. So Ram said, let's not joke anymore, she's getting quite, I think she might do something. And so she became upset, and she grabbed Sita. As soon as she grabbed Sita, Lakshman took out his arrows and he shot her and he cut off her two ears and her nose. And she went screaming and running. And she ran to the camp of the Rakshasas with her two brothers, whose name was Kar and Dushana. Powerful Rakshasas. There was 14,000 Rakshasas in this camp. And when he saw his sister, what had happened, he said, who did this? She said, these are two ascetics, powerful warriors, are living in the forest. And you can't allow that to happen to me. You should take some revenge. So they went. 14,000 Rakshasas came, headed by two very powerful... They were brothers of Ravana, younger brothers. Ravana had so many brothers. It was a big family. So when they came, Ram dispatched everyone to the kingdom of Yamaraj. And they were just picking off the Rakshasas like people, pick off, pears from a tree. One after another. Of course, the battle between Ram and Kara was a very, very big battle. That went on for about an hour. But actually, Kara was a very powerful Rakshasa. But finally, Ram killed him. He killed the whole lot, except for one Rakshasa, whose name was Alambika. He got away. And he ran back to Ravana. And he told Ravana what had happened. And Ravana couldn't believe, who's this human being that's killing all the Rakshasas? Alambika said, he's so powerful. Your brothers were mighty Rakshasas. He dispatched 14,000 Rakshasas. They're all finished. So Ravana was quite concerned, but he didn't do anything. Finally, Suparnika came. She came in her state of bloody mess. And Ravana said, who has done this? And she explained the whole situation. And then, of course, Ravana wasn't so much concerned that his sister was hurt. He was kind of concerned at the fact that, who would do this to you because you're my sister? He was like, his own pride was hurt. No one can do this to my sister. And that was Ravana. So she said, they have a very, very nice wife. Her name is Sita. She's so beautiful. And then she started to describe the features of Mother Sita. And Ravana, when he started to hear him, his lusty desires became awakened. Aha, I should have her for my wife. She said, but he's very, very powerful. You have to devise some means to trick him. So he thought of a plan. He went to Maricha, another Rakshasa, who was a mystic demon. He was like a magician, Maricha. So Maricha had some encounter with Ram once before. So he went to Maricha. He said, Maricha, I have a plan. There's one human being. He's living in the woods. He's got a very, very beautiful wife. And I'm thinking, I'm desiring that. I want you to help me. Maricha said, what's his name? He said, Rama. I said, Ravana. Oh, no. Rama. I said, oh, Rama. He said, Ram, forget it. I've had two encounters with him already. And just thinking of the name Ram, and I've become fearful. I think every time I see a tree, I see Ram is coming out behind it to kill me. When I see a cloud, he's hiding behind a cloud to kill me. When I see a body of water, he's coming out of the water to kill me. He said, myself and one other powerful Rakshasa named Subahu, we packed the sages living in the forest. And this Ram, he shot an arrow and knocked me 800 miles into the ocean. And he killed Subahu with another arrow. And then another time, I took the form of a stag, and I was chasing after some sages. And he came, and he shot arrows at me, and I had to run for my life. And he said, I'm so afraid of Ram when I hear any word that begins with R. My fear just overwhelms me. Forget it. Don't even mention his name. So Ram said, okay. So Ravana said, okay. So he went back. And then he wasn't so much concerned. And then Suparnika said, oh, you coward. She just really harassed him. So he went back again, and he was going to get Maricha to do it this time. He said, Maricha, I need your help. If you don't help me, I'm going to kill you. So Maricha was thinking, well, if I don't help you, you'll kill me. And if I do help you, I get killed by Ram. So it's better to be killed by Ram. Better to be killed by your filthy arrows. So the story is one beautiful story. When Maricha takes the form of this very, very celestial-looking deer. And it was like golden in color. It had all these beautiful spots, like jewels, beautiful silver hoofs. It was like luminous, like emeralds and shiny gems. So the deer start parading in front of Sita. And Sita said, oh, look, Ram, a beautiful deer. We only have one more year exile in the forest. And we should have that deer when we go back to Ayodhya. So Lakshman said, I don't think that's a deer. In fact, there are 8,400,000 species of life, but this is not one of them. I think that's the demon Maricha. She said, no, 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 it's a beautiful deer. Ram, please get that deer for me. So the deer started to run away. So Ram said, okay, I'll go. But Lakshman, you stay here and you guard Ram and you seek them. And no matter what, don't leave because this is a very dangerous forest. I'll be right back. So he went out. And Ravana and Lakshman was guarding Sita. So after some time, you know, Ram started to chase the deer. The deer was running. And then he realized that this is not a deer. This is demon Maricha. So he fired an arrow. And the deer in the form of Maricha jumped high, but he couldn't get away from the deer, from Ram's arrow. And the arrow hit him. And upon hitting Maricha, he called out, Lakshman, help! Lakshman, help! And then when Sita heard that, she said, your brother's in trouble, please help him. And Lakshman said, nothing, Ram, there's nothing that can, power superior than Ram. It's just the demon Maricha, he's just making a voice of Ram. She said, no, no, he's in trouble, he's your brother, you should help him. So Lakshman said, no, I'm supposed to stay here and guard you, and that's my service. It's too dangerous to leave you. And then all of a sudden, Sita's attitude changed. She said, ha ha, now I understand. All this time, you're posing as the loyal friend, the loyal brother, and my ultimate well-wisher and guard, but you're only interested in enjoying me. That's why you don't want to go. Oh, when Lakshman heard that, he was so angry. He was upset. He was not angry. He was so hurt by her words. He was so chaste in his relationship with her, he would never even look above her ankles. He would never look into her face because he always respected her as the supreme mother and the husband and the wife of Ram, his beloved brother. So when he heard that, he was hurt. She said, "All right, I'll go. But I know when I go, you're not going to be back." So, okay, so Lakshmi went. And at that time, Ravana came, disguised as the sage. And through his mystic power, eventually he took Sita away. Of course, when Lakshman and Ram got back and Sita was gone, Ram said to Lakshman, "Why did you leave her? I told you not to leave her." And he explained what she said. But Ram, he was so unhappy that she was gone. He said, "Now she's gone. Now we don't even know what will happen to her." He was so upset. So in some way, he was chastising Lakshman for leaving her. So Lakshman vowed at that time, he said, "Next time, in our next incarnation, I'm not coming as your younger brother anymore. I'm going to come as your older brother, so you don't have to tell me what to do." So that's a fact. The next incarnation was Krishna and Balaram. Balaram was the older brother. The next incarnation after that was Nityananda Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came as older brother. He was getting chastised for no reason. You know, older brother you have to respect. That is the culture. So the story goes on. Of course, it's a very, very beautiful story. Many, many years ago, in the land of India, the Ramayana series was played on TV. Remember it. It was on one station, I believe it was Doordarshan. I'm not sure exactly. But practically the entire country of the area, wherever that was being shown, would stop. The offices would stop. The traffic would stop. One of my dear godbrothers was telling me, he usually travels across Bombay to go from... usually going from south to north. He usually takes about, during rush hour traffic, it's about an hour and a half. He said, during this time, one time we traveled when the Ramayana was on TV. It took us 12 minutes. Nobody was on the street. Everyone was watching the Ramayana. And during that time, they were casting actors to play the role of Sita and Ram. And it was interesting that the person who was playing Ram, he didn't have all the qualities of Ram. He had a habit, he liked to smoke cigarettes. So his friends were telling him, "If you're going to play Ram, you should give up smoking cigarettes. It's not a very ideal way to present yourself as Ram, because when people see you in public..." And it was a story one day that there was a car where the actress who was playing Mother Sita, she was in the car. And the car somehow or other violated some traffic rules. So it was stopped by one police officer. So the police officer, when he looked into the car, he recognized the actress as being Sita. He said, "Oh, Mother Sita, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop your car. Please forgive me. Please go on." Yeah. It was like that. And there's also, it was explained during that time, during the time when Sita was captured by Ravana, you know, it was for Ram Bhaktas, it was a very heart-rendering experience. And it was calculated that one man, he was watching this show on TV and he became so unhappy when Sita was captured by Ravana and how Ravana was treating Sita, he couldn't live. He gave up his life watching the show on TV. It's like Ram, he invokes so much devotion. The story of Sita and Ram Lakshman Hanuman is so full of so much devotion. It is so deep, so beautiful. You can hear that Leela over and over and over and over and over again. You never get tired. It's so beautiful. Ram, the perfect husband. Ram, the perfect king. But out of the two, he was the perfect king. Because at the end, when everything was back to normal, and they came back to Ayodhya, and Ravana was killed, and they were living in the kingdom again as king, Sita, of course, she, Ram at the very end, he said to Sita, I don't want you back. You have been touched by Ravana, and therefore I cannot accept you back. She said, no, it is not true. And I can prove it. So the fire god came, and it was a fire, and she entered into the fire. And coming out of the fire god Agni was carrying Mother Sita. She was untouched by the fire to show that she was actually pure and chaste. She had never been touched by Ravana. What Ravana took was what is called Maya Sita, which was another personality. Because materialistic persons cannot touch the goddess of fortune. Although it appears they do, they cannot touch. They get what they call the shadow Sita. When Ravana tries to get Sita, he gets Durga. He gets death. Durga represents death. Materialist. So they went back to the kingdom. Sita proved beyond doubt that she had remained faithful and chaste to Ram through that whole ordeal. So he accepted her back. But during that time when they were in the kingdom, Ram was going, he would go sometimes and just wander through the kingdom just to find out what people were saying and talking about. Because as a saintly king, as a perfect ruler, he was always interested in what the people were thinking and how to satisfy them and continue to rule in an ideal way. So one day he was passing this man's house, who was a very ordinary man. He was chastising his wife. He said, you were out last night, and you were, I don't know where you were staying, therefore you have become unchaste, therefore I don't even want you back. He said, I am not like Ram taking his wife back, although she's was with another man. I am not like that. And Ram, when he heard that, he became concerned. Someone is doubting my character. Someone is doubting the quality of my leadership. So what he did, he said, Lakshman, he called Lakshman. He said, I think it's time to take Sita away. Bring it to Valmiki Muni's ashram and let her stay there. She was pregnant at the time with Love and Kush, and two sons that were yet to be born. And Ram, although he had so much love and affection, the love for Ram for Sita is unimaginable. God's love is impossible to understand. Yet, he gave up that in order to prove that a leader, a ruler, must be above suspicion. That is Ram Raj, the perfect rule. Leadership should be so ideal that their life is an open book. No one can criticize. Where do you find that today? Nowhere. In fact, that's all they do is find fault and criticize the leaders. And of course, the leaders are criticizable, right? In fact, nowadays they become so criticizable that they think, well, he's like us anyway, so why should we criticize him? Right? It's like our present leader. He was involved in some scandal, so people were thinking, well, it's not so bad. You know, he's like ordinary. He's like us. We do the same thing anyway, so why should we condemn him? And that's today's leadership. So instead of have Ram Raj, you have Ravana Raj. It's pretty much today's leadership. So Ram, he was so concerned, presenting himself as the ideal king, that he asked Sita. He didn't tell her. He told Lakshman, just take her and bring her to the Valmiki Muni's ashram. And Lakshman, he didn't, another time, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. This is another reason why he became the older brother and actually left. And he was taking her. And she was pregnant. He was driving the chariot. And he was crying. Lakshman was crying. He was so sad. And Sita said, Lakshman, I think maybe I'm not coming back. And Lakshman couldn't answer. He couldn't answer. He was so unhappy that he had to take Sita out of Ayodhya and away from Ram. But he followed the instructions of Ram. And of course, she was so unhappy. Ultimately, after she gave birth, she left this world in separation from Ram. So the Ramayana is a very good, beautiful story. 24,000 verses, full of so much meaning. We simply hear, we can hear this pastime over and over again. We can be attracted to Ram, attracted to the principles of what Ram represents, as was explained. Janma karma chame divyam devam yogeti tatvataha taktva deham purnamam naiti mam eti surjanam. We become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we understand the nature of His transcendental pastimes and activities, we don't have to again take birth in this material world. To take birth means to suffer, to grow old is suffering, to get disease is suffering, to die is suffering, and in between there's so many sufferings. This material world is not our home. We can't make it a nice place. It never will become a nice place. No matter how hard you try, it remains the same. A place of suffering, unhappiness, disappointment, and ultimately a place we have to leave. So we have to live, but we don't have to be, as explained, you can live in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. But to develop otherworldliness, we have to absorb ourselves in another world. That is the transcendental world. And that is by hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord. Just like in the land of India, people would come together every evening in the villages, even in the shops. They would sit down after the day's work. They would hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, sometimes Srimad Bhagavatam, and finish the day just being absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And at night, you sleep and dream about the Lord. Your life becomes one with the Lord. So that is real culture. That is real life. That is what we are aspiring for. So the Lord comes, and simply to enhance our relationship with the coming. He comes in order to increase our attraction for Him. So, although we celebrate Ram Navami one day of the year, we should hear these pastimes every day. Krishna's pastimes, Ram's pastimes, any of the incarnations. But Ram is special. There's a special flavor, there's a special sweetness about Ram Leela that you can experience simply by hearing this transcendental Leela. So I thank you very much for your kind attention on this very holy and auspicious day, the glorification of Sri Ram. We always pray for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we'll be able to remember Him and chant His holy name and ultimately engage in His devotion for devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Hare Krishna.